Marie?
Yes, Adolf?
Have you noticed how much of current fiction writing is devoted to stories about fantastic happenings on other worlds and planets?
Yes, I have, dear. And I must say that some of these stories make fascinating reading. I've read one or two that almost make you believe that life really does exist on other planets.
Well, dear, it's entirely possible. Many of the greatest thinkers in the world today are spending their lives trying to solve the riddle of the universe, hoping to discover positive proof that there is life on other worlds.
I suppose, Adolf, that man will always speculate about the universe in which we live, but many learned scientists are striving with all their knowledge to solve the mysteries of other planets. Now, of course, according to the scientists, when they think in terms of is there life on some other planet, they are not referring to only to human beings such as ourselves. They're referring to life in any form, and of course that starts with the lowly virus and goes on up through the plant world as well. And according to the scientists, as far as we know with our own planet here, nothing can survive without oxygen. There may be, though, other types of plant life and even human life on other planets that can survive with something quite different, which they don't know anything about at this point.
Well, that's a wonderful speculation, but let's take a look at our own so-called solar system and see how we stand. We have, for example, the following planets: Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. I didn't know until I looked it up that Venus, at its closest point in its orbit, is the nearest one to us, 26 million miles away, but it is so clouded with fog and clouds of various kinds that it is not observable. Now, next comes Mars, which at its nearest point is 35 million miles away, it being rather free of these cloud gases or whatever they are. The scientists have been able to take a look at it, and it was an Italian by the name of Giovanni Schiaparelli, who in 1877, by looking very carefully, discovered for the first time what he thought were canals, called canali, fine lines on Mars, which would indicate it to him that perhaps there were men, mm-hmm. such as we think we know them here, mm-hmm. that might exist there, that had dug these canals. This was big news. And though other astronomers have since doubted that these canals were made by creatures with reasoning power, there have been endless speculations about life on Mars. Now, that is 35 million miles away. In my opinion, as you just suggested, in other planets, many more millions of miles away, there may be an entirely different form of life. People that have overcome struggles and wars and been through everything we've been through and look upon us as very primitive creatures.
Well, that's true, because after all, I think to assume that in this universe of ours, with so many solar systems that the scientists now believe do exist, even far beyond what they can see or find, I think it'd be rather stupid of us and probably very egotistical of us to assume that only life as we know it could be on our little planet Earth, and that the Creator had not put life on any other planets. I agree with you. It wouldn't surprise me at all to find out one day that we, by comparison, are probably primitive, prehistoric people, and that there may be life on other planets of human beings that are so far beyond our own civilization and know-how and intellect and everything else that we'll be just primitive people by comparison.
Well, it was not until 1943 that they had any positive evidence that there could be other planetary systems. It was in that year that K.A. Strand, the astronomer at Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania, began taking photographs of the star 621 Cygni, I think that's the way you pronounce it, and found to his amazement that it had other stars revolving around it. In other words, star 621 Cygni had a planet. Now, this brings in the speculation that you and I are now talking about, that billions of miles away in the firmament, there may be other worlds that we do not dream of, but we're concerned with the ones that we can watch and see. And what about these floating discs that have been around?
Oh, the flying saucers.
Flying saucers,
floating disc, I love
well,
that.
Well, same thing.
Well, I don't know. It's never been answered, at least to my satisfaction. I'm not dreaming or imagining things now, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had come from some other planet. I don't see why. There again, you see, our ego steps in and we say why they couldn't possibly do that, simply because we have not, at this point, controlled outer space travel. But that doesn't say it couldn't be. But getting back to something that really I think is quite interesting is the fact that life as we know it, even in the lowly plant life or virus form, the virility, I mean the strength of these things and how long they can survive without nourishment is really quite surprising. There's a doctor at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Dr. Bishop, who put Rocky Mountain ticks, you know, in a vial with no food and left it completely bottled up for 3 years. And then he opened it, And believe it or not, they were still living. You know?
This is wonderful.
They
think
survived through... You wonder. Now, then, here's another very interesting case, I think, of a professor who was the dean of the University of California, and he was studying some 300-year-old bricks in an old Spanish mission, and he found live bacteria in them.
How little we know.
How little we know and how much we're finding out.
And how much there is to learn.
Oh, of course there is. But getting back to Venus that you mentioned before, which is the closest planet to us, it's interesting, I think, to find out that Venus is revolving very, very slowly. I mean, so that one of its days is probably equal to 4 or 5 of our weeks, you know, which is quite a different setup entirely. Also, the atmosphere, they do seem to know a great deal about the atmosphere. They seem to have...
How do they find out about that?
Oh, no, don't ask me that, dear. I don't know.
The carbon monoxide gases up there and the temperature there. How do they know?
I don't know, but they seem to know. They've satisfied each other. And I think we're safe in saying that all scientists would be very doubtful of the other's opinions, so that they must do a lot of cross-section in saying, I don't believe you and I'll prove it myself. But they have agreed on these things, at least, basically. So we do know that little bit, anyway.
Well, getting back to something that we've mentioned before in these little talks, I think it's interesting to note how some of the weird imaginings of science fiction writers have actually predicted things and devices that are in use today.
Oh, do you remember that that old movie serial we saw on television? Well, it must have been, well, I don't know, 20 or more years old, where the characters talked with one another through a television set?
Oh, yes, and you know something? You just mentioned a subject that I'd like to talk about, movie serials. How well I remember when they were one of the mainstays of the motion picture business. Suppose we reminisce a bit about those old chapter plays after we listen for a moment to someone else.
Now, Adolf, you being the breadwinner of the Manju family and winning that bread, so to speak, in the motion picture business, suppose you tell us something about movie serials.
Oh, dear. Well, the movie serial was, in general, a two-reel, ran about a half an hour, motion picture, with a continued story which ran through 6 months' time, 26 episodes, let's say. Some longer, some shorter. Mm-hmm. It had the same leading characters, the heroine, the hero, and the villain in general, and then, of course, during the episodes, other actors were supplied. It told a story which was never quite completed, where the name, of course, called Cliffhanger came from, where at the end of the episode... The audience was left in a high feeling of emotional tensity because generally the hero or the heroine was left hanging on a cliff, so-called, and the audience not knowing how on earth she ever was going to be rescued from this perilous position, hanging by her teeth, virtually, from the rim of the Grand Canyon. So this name came, the cliffhanger, and even today in radio... Serials are called cliffhangers for that reason.
In other words, when you saw that, you'd be sure to come back next week and see what was going to happen.
Why, you couldn't wait. The world couldn't wait.
Well, now, would they pick her up still hanging on the cliff?
Oh, not only America, but China, India, Africa, Arabia, the whole world watched them. Mm-hmm. Now, these were immensely popular from about 1915 to 1919 and continued on for some time past that. Why they lost their popularity, I don't know. They developed their own great, great stars. Pearl White was, of course, the outstanding leader. Then we had Ruth Roland, and we had Sheldon Lewis, and we had such ones as Diamond in the Sky.
You mean that was the name of one of
the names? The name of the entire series. Chapter 1 up to chapter number 26, or however long they ran. And then we had The Clutching Hand, and what was the one you said? Stingaree?
Oh, Stingaree, yes.
Stingaree. Mm-hmm. And in all interesting... exciting names to attract the attention. The leading man or the leading woman was always of a heart of gold, and the villain was painted in the blackest, blackest ink.
Well, now today we have a series of pictures, but each episode is a complete story.
Now, that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. The difference between a serial and a series.
Yeah.
A serial was a two-reel episode, sometimes one reel, but generally two-reel episode that ran every week. The audience came back being attracted by the never-finished episode at the end. And then we have a series of pictures, such as the Hoot Gibson series. Those stories were completed stories with the same background, with the same leading character. The Cisco Kid is an example today. These two characters continue all the way through. Mm-hmm. And now we have Hopalong Cassidy and Crash Corrigan. And is it Charlie Starrett? And Bob Neal, I can't begin to
name
them.
But they're very popular, aren't they?
Oh, popular. They're incredibly popular because they have action. have action. Villainy is always punished. Virtue always triumphs.
That's the way it should be.
Ah, this is good.
Of course it's good.
And these men are all great heroes. They're all handsome. They're muscular. They're strong. They're magnificent horsemen. Or their doubles are.
Some of them, you shouldn't tell that secret.
Some of them are excellent riders. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not so good. They get to learn all the tricks of the trade.
But you know, I was just thinking while you were talking here. Now, the movie serials, which we know have more or less stopped being made, still your soap opera on radio is identical.
That also does
the same thing with the characters, more or less leaves you from day to day in suspense. And you can't wait till tomorrow to find out what's going to happen.
Which enrages me, because if I have an engagement the next day... that I cannot hear it, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I figure, has the dentist got a radio in his office? I must hear what happened.
You mean that really?
No, of course I do. I believe it the same as anyone else does. Why not?
Well, were those very profitable? Did they make a lot of money?
They were enormously successful.
Well, where did the feature picture come into that?
Now, the serial was so popular that it was billed before the feature picture in many theaters on their marquees.
You don't mean?
Oh, indeed. Why, there never was such a popularity as Pearl White.
No, I never saw Pearl White.
It's absolutely outstanding.
Maybe that'll all come back someday. Do you think so?
Well, I don't know. I hope so. Well, once again, dear, I see we've got to stop about here and say goodbye for now. This is Adolf Marju speaking from Beverly Hills.
And this is Verites Del Marju saying how much we have enjoyed this time spent with you and looking forward to calling upon you soon again.